Okay. Hello, lunchgoers at STPCon. Woohoo! That's awesome. This room is really echoey. It's fantastic. My name is Mark Tomlinson. I'm welcoming you to the first live podcast broadcasting right now live on the internet to all of our brothers and sisters who could not be with us at STPCon. So give a shout out to everyone that's out there in internet land. Yes, exactly. Sorry you can't be with us. This next hour, we're going to do a really interesting thing together that we haven't done before. Specifically, we're going to enter into sort of a Q&A session with yourselves being able to quiz the sponsors, some of whom have signed up to allow me and you to go around and ask them questions, learn a little bit more about them, broadcast live on the internet. And the format of the show sort of works like this. Let's say I'm going to meet up with Phil first here at XBOsoft. I'll go over to the booth, and we'll learn a little bit more about XBOsoft, and then we'll play the game, which will be Phil's opportunity to, one, take a question from you, one of you, Rich Hand, my assistant here. We'll run around and actually take your question of Phil at XBOsoft. Phil could also choose to just take a random question, and of course, we have some questions that were submitted by everyone, and Rich will actually pick one randomly out of the deck of questions, and we will ask Phil a little more challenging question. Or if Phil really wants to take a risk, Phil will actually let me ask him a question. And you don't want me to ask you this question, because I will be incredibly tough. So does this sound like a good game? We'll be able to put our sponsors on the spot and learn a little more? Yes? Are you ready? So Phil actually is engrossed right now at his booth. So I have a couple different spots. Actually, I need my phone. Now I'm going to go grab my phone for a second. Sorry about that. And we're going to go find, yes. Hey! Michael, how are you? From HP.
Correct.
Michael Cooper. Let me make sure this is on right now. The folks at home can hear you.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Welcome to the show. You have some fantastic things for STPCon. You've been a longtime sponsor. So tell us just briefly kind of, you know, what's the big news happening right now with HP?
Oh, there's so much news going on. Just for STP, definitely visit the booth. Both this period and the next period, because you can win an HP slate directly at the booth. If you fill out a card, we'll text you. You can win an HP slate. And if you're wearing one of these quality Rockstar buttons, you can win an Amazon gift card.
Okay.
So go talk with our partners over there. But there's so much stuff happening in terms of new releases, innovation going on with HP. Should I get into that or wait to the question?
Well, how long have you been working for HP, Mike?
So, and personally, I've been working for HP for about a year and a half.
About a year and a half.
And prior to that, I was one of you. I was sitting in the audience. I used to run testing for T-Mobile USA.
Cool.
And before that, Equifax and Fair Isaac.
So in your heart, you are a tester.
So
still.
In my heart, I'm a tester. But now I'm kind of a testing evangelist, and I get to meet with customers around the world and find out how they're doing testing, what their challenges are, and kind of help to try to figure out the future of testing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very good. So you're ready to play our game?
I am so ready to play this game.
All right. So your three choices are, you can ask a question of the audience here, you can take a random question from Rich, or you can run the risk of having me ask you let's see, I got to think of a question about HP. So you can take your pick of those three.
Okay. Can I phone a friend?
You could. Well, do you have a friend here?
I do have a friend. No.
You do.
No. You know what? Since you look like a nice guy, I will let you ask me a question. I knew you're an expert in all things testing, specifically performance testing, but ask me anything.
This is dangerous because I am the former LoadRunner product manager at
HP,
so this could get difficult. But let's see here. I have a different set of questions. You have Rich has the random ones. I have the list of mine here. I know. All right, I have to make this about your latest releases. HP has just launched version 12, right?
Absolutely.
All right, and what I'm interested in actually is of all the things that you've released, added into LoadRunner, added into QuickTest Professional, UFT, the ALM or Quality Center Enterprise Platform. Let's see, what else? Performance Center, dear and dear to my heart, Performance Center. list at least three game-changing features in those products.
Okay, so HP is really doubling down in software and especially in the testing realm. We've been the leaders for many years, and we decided to really innovate. And if I had to pick three, and I may go a little bit over because there's so many great things.
Just three. All right.
Okay. Since Performance Center is so close to your heart, for Performance Center and Load Runner, I would say the cloud bursting. So being able to run your load generators from, let's say, Amazon Web Services. And I saw a demo of this in Israel a few weeks ago visiting R&D. Cool. And they ramped up on AWS to 200,000 users, provisioning and setting up on the fly a load test in like 5 minutes, including setting up the different systems and it ramping up and everything. It just blew my mind. That's really cool.
You know, when I was there, we launched Load Runner in the cloud for the first time. So to see it actually come out, it was a beta.
Right.
So now it's like, it's everywhere. It's fully supported.
It's amazing.
It's expanded. Okay, so that's one. What's the second one?
Well, I'll give you I'm going to sneak one in on the Load Runner too, because...
Yeah, so two for Load Runner.
Oh, no. This one's a freebie, okay?
Okay, all right.
Because I know everybody loves Load Runner, and not everybody had a chance to try it.
Right.
But now we're giving away a free community edition of Load Runner. So if any of you wanted to download Load Runner today, or any day, you can use 50 virtual users...
For free,
any protocol without a time limit. So it's not like a trial like we used to have.
Yeah.
It is a community edition.
Very cool.
Okay, so that's still number one. Number two is, I would say, a remarkable user experience. Now, for many years, let's say Quality Center and Performance Center has had a very similar UI, right?
Yes.
And a lot of people said, hey, we want to use this on the Mac. We want to use it under lots of different browsers. So we've released a web UI, HTML5, JavaScript, we're starting with requirements and defects,
okay,
and we're expanding over time. But right now it's available. So your developers can, or your BAs or whoever can use a web client. And we hired some very special usability experts to help us, make it fun to use and
right. So
and
not just a facelift, but actually the workflow that a developer or a requirements BA would need in the product.
Exactly.
So nice. So that's good. I like new innovative things on the old. Yes.
So right. The third thing is about mobile.
Mobile. Okay.
Mobile.
So there's a lot of mobile in the room, so this will be good to tell.
And yes. And I think everybody in the room in terms of mobile is our partners one way or another.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. Perfecto is a partner. Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are partners. Everybody's a partner.
Cool.
But if you like exploratory testing on a mobile device, we now have Sprinter Mobile. So you can test on the cloud with Sprinter.
Okay.
Okay. Also, for load testing, I know it's near and dear to your heart, you can run a load test directly on an Android device or an emulator for iOS.
Okay.
Another huge news thing. And
you're way over three, you know that.
No, this is the same. This is still performance tests.
Okay.
This is remarkable user experience.
Okay.
Okay. All right, this is the last of the third. We just made a strategic acquisition.
No.
Of Shunra.
A company I know very well.
A company you know. So if you're doing load testing, you want to emulate the network, whether it's with mobile, with 4G, 3G, all that type of stuff, or a regular network. And this gives you realistic load, and it's really awesome. So I would say, the Shunra acquisition is really a crowning jewel on our new release.
Take that existing integration that you guys have and just take it to the next level for... We're mobile, and most importantly, I think.
Is a big place for it, but it's also good just for the network virtualization.
Very good. Okay. Michael Cooper.
Michael Cooper,
thank you very
good
much from
you,
HP.
Mark.
We'll see you at the booth. Check them out.
Yeah, come win a HP Slate or Amazon gift card.
Very good. Yeah. Okay, who's next on our list? Phil? Is Phil available? I've got Phil. I can go to the XBO Soft booth. I think we're going to make our way over to XBOsoft and interrupt Phil in an acute thing. Mr. Liu, Mr. Phil Liu. Hello. Hi. Hi, my name's Mark Tomlinson. Maybe you remember me.
I can't remember.
I'm here at the XBOsoft booth. I'm completely interrupting you. I apologize in advance, of course. But, Phil, we have a chance to play our game with the audience here.
Okay.
Where, first of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about XBOsoft? I know you were here setting up the booth, and this is your company.
I was here setting up the booth because we're hands-on.
You're hands-on. That's right. Very good.
And we do testing in the office. Not in the wild.
Not in the wild, but in the office.
That's right, in the
different.
Office.
Great. And so how did XBOsoft get started in your recent history?
We started about 6 or 7 years ago prior to the Great Recession.
Prior to the Great Recession, very
good.
And
we started off doing testing for Oracle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That was our largest customer.
Okay.
And today some of our largest customers are, for instance, Blackline, who is here today.
Blackline, yes.
Blackline Systems is
one of the Blackline people.
We also do testing for CA, so those are our two largest customers, and most of our customers are small to medium-sized customers where we supplement their testing in terms of expertise or manpower.
Now, you and I had personally done a webinar recently sort of around the mobile space, particularly around usability and such, so your background actually is even studying usability, right?
Right. Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome. Are you ready to play our game?
I'm ready.
All right. Now, we're going to capture some attention here from folks. You can keep the microphone right there. No worries. Now, you have an opportunity with Rich here. He will either take a question from the audience, Jeff, or this gentleman right here might ask you a question about XBOsoft, or you can run the risk of taking a random question that we've prepared from Rich Hand.
Oh, no.
Or you can, if you want to step it up, I'll ask you something. I'll have to think of something challenging about usability.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So what's your choice? How would you like to play the game?
How many questions are there?
Well, you'll get one question, and you get to choose where it comes from.
Okay.
You see anyone out there? There's some folks that are ready to attack you with a question.
Are there any folks ready to attack me with a question? No attacks. Okay.
No attacks. So your choice? No?
I can take a question from Rich, sure.
A question from Rich. All right. So you would randomly choose
one? Do I have
to
answer it?
Yes, you have to answer it. Otherwise, you'll get the torture from me.
Okay.
And if this is completely inappropriate, this is fantastic. Perfect choice. All right, read it out loud there.
I'm starting to sweat here.
You're trying to sweat. You want me to read it for you?
I can read it.
Go ahead.
Okay. Mobile testing is hot. List three things testers should know about mobile testing.
Three things. Dr. Phil Liu, go for it.
Okay. I would say that the first thing is that you have to have a combination strategy for devices, using real devices, simulated devices, as well as virtual devices.
Okay. That's the first thing.
That's the first thing. The second thing is that for mobile automation to be successful, you have to have a framework in place to have it survive and be extensible and reusable.
Okay.
A third thing?
Okay, going for a third thing.
Okay. A third thing...
Mobile testing.
...is that mobile performance testing should include three components, at least. The first one being on the local device.
Okay.
The second one being going through the network. And the third one being on the server. Server performance.
Okay, so you've got to make sure all three of those areas are covered. Device performance,
right?
Network and server, all three. And of course, we just heard from HP doing their Shunra acquisition, a great emulation solution there as well.
Right.
Great. Okay.
Thanks,
Phil Liu. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, and people should come to the booth. Are you giving anything away?
We're giving away a $100 American Express certificate. So come over here, fill out the ticket, and. Get your ticket punched.
And you will win. Fantastic.
Yes.
All right, I'm on to my next one here. Where should I go next, Phil? I got Brad next door or Smart Bear over here I can go to. Should I talk to Brad? He's your neighbor in the booth, right?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
Here I am. I'm at the SOSTA. I'm totally interrupting, dude.
That's
sorry.
Okay, no. You're good.
Okay. All right. Hey, Brad. Brad Johnson from SOSTA.
Yes, indeed.
Here you go. Would you like to play our game?
I would. I'd love to play the game.
You'd like to play
Who's
our
listening?
Game. Exactly. Keep in mind that we're broadcasting live not just to the people here in this room. It's on the internet live everywhere.
All right. If I'm going to pass out, this is the time.
If you're going to pass out, now's the time. And then okay. I get to make up all sorts of answers about Sosta.
But
tell us a little bit about the background. You and I had worked together in former companies with the old Mercury and testing background. But Sosta started a little while back. Kind of what's news with Sosta? Give us a little history.
So there's the background of Sosta, which is we really thought that it would be a good idea to test the web with a web app, right? You know, imagine that.
Really, imagine
right?
that.
And then there was this thing called cloud computing that had emerged.
Yes.
And so imagine I need maybe 5 servers or maybe 50 servers or maybe 5,000 servers to run a really big load test, and then I don't need the servers anymore. Wouldn't that be a good use case for load testing?
As opposed to testing at Microsoft, where we like build a lab filled with machinery and then it just sits there turned off for six months?
You use it once a month, a week, or whatever. Okay, yeah. So,
exactly.
We believe that the web is here to stay for at least a while and that cloud computing really works, and we've proven that over the last six years.
Over the 6 to 7 years, cloud has gone woohoo!
Yeah, it's become, it's really part of IT now.
It's everywhere. And you'll see almost every one of our co-sponsors here. That everyone's got a mobile and a cloud message, so that is fantastic. And would you like to start playing our game? I'm going to jump right in.
I would love to start playing your game.
Okay, now the game, as you have heard maybe so far, you get to choose the source of your questions, either first and foremost a question from the audience.
Okay.
Right, and you'll see there are a few folks here. Now look at everyone is actually they're in conversation at all the booths.
Indeed.
We're going to try to garner their attention for a second to ask a question.
So as a vendor, am I allowed to pull people from other booths
I think
to
it
answer
is.
My
it's
question?
It's a tug of war with Lorinda over in SmartBear. That's right. Or the Parasoft booth because, okay, yeah. But here's the scoop. So you can take a question from the audience.
Okay.
You got Jan Hager here. You got Paul here that could ask you a direct question. He would love to donate a question. You can take a grab bag question like we just did with Phil, and he lucked out. On a question for mobile, it was appropriate. You don't know what you're going to get out of the grab bag.
All right, okay.
Or you can run the risk of taking a question from yours truly, and knowing your own background that we have shared in our work history, you know I'm going to come up
with something. No personal questions, right?
No personal questions,
okay.
No. No, exactly. Not a personal question. But so what's your choice? Question from the audience, question from the grab bag, or question
from
me?
You know, I would love a question from the audience if we could find somebody that would
finally
like a question.
Finally, somebody who would like to ask Brad Johnson from Sosta a question that you'd like to know about Sosta. All right, here we go.
All right.
Hey, my name's Thomas Burke with Mannheim, and I have a question. There's a lot of new developments going on with cloud. Can you hear me?
A little closer. I can't hear.
A little closer.
He can't hear me. Hold the yeah, hello? Can
yes,
you hear me?
We can hear
All
you
right.
Now, sir.
Hey. So my name's Thomas Burke, and there's a lot of new developments going on with cloud. We're moving to Amazon Cloud, and I'd like to get your input on some of the best ways to test cloud, some of the testing challenges we're going to encounter.
Okay, so the initial testing challenges when you move testing to the cloud.
Yes.
Great. And that's a perfect tee up for you.
Yeah, those are great questions. And obviously we could spend a lot of time on, testing in the cloud. I think if you are looking at beginning to use the cloud for load testing, which is something that obviously we've been very close to for a long time. First of all, just do it, because essentially the cloud works. Get an Amazon account, set up a load generator, and pick your weapon, pick your tool of choice, pick an open source product, and figure out how to get whatever test case you create running in that with that load generator, right? So you will then be cloud testing.
So you're basically experimenting with the first challenges of getting the script and the data and generating load from outside the firewall.
Right. And so for any small shop, anybody just getting started, cloud testing, cloud load testing can be that simple.
Okay.
Now, where it gets difficult is when you begin to scale that test, when you want to have 5 or 10 load generators all communicating and hitting your site.
And
the hardest part about it always has been, well, what about the data? What about the results of that test as you run those load generators?
Right.
First answer is, it's easy to experiment with AWS. They've been around the longest. They have a really nice interface for creating different size servers.
and then take whatever load tool you've chosen, and essentially you now have a load generator and figure out how to make that connection. There's a lot of questions about how is load testing my app in the cloud? Let's say I'm going to put my app in the cloud and I want to load test that cloud. How is that different from load testing an app that's hosted in my data center? Is that one of the, were you kind of thinking that way when you asked the question?
Yes, but, and also I hear there's more of a, like maybe perhaps a security risk.
Sure.
It opens up more files to the world and maybe also to hackers. There's pros and cons for the clouds, but I think that's one of the risk areas is security.
So, Brad, if I may, I know there have been sessions at SDPCon in the past. By the way, Tomas, thanks. Great question for kicking us off. Yeah. So there are these great sessions. Actually, Mike Ostenberg just gave one. I did say Mike's last name correctly
yes,
there, didn't
correct.
I?
Yeah, you did.
But there's like a whole collection of best practices about PCI data, working with testing through the firewall, protecting your data, using there's all sorts of techniques that are proven for this testing in the cloud of the cloud outside the firewall.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the question was great. I mean, it is actually the first or second question when anybody says cloud.
Yeah.
You know, what about security?
Right.
So you're right. We hit 100 million cloud tests in 2013.
That's
and
unbelievable.
So it's a lot,
okay.
Right? And so
yeah.
So
learning.
that is a test running, whether it's just a 5-second test or a saturation test for 10 hours.
Yes.
SOSTA has been able to overcome any concerns related to data. One thing I will say about a load generator in the cloud is that the data is very transitory. You're putting a test case out there, it's hitting your site, and it's gone.
Yeah.
If all your stuff is going to sit out there, all your results, everything else,
you don't leave it out there.
And that's a different story. That's not really our concern because that's not what we do.
Yeah.
Everything's very transitory, and any of the results are stored on your own premises. And anything you generate in the cloud can actually be pulled back, back to your own data centers as well. So results can be put somewhere else. So.
Yeah.
The issues with security, we're able to overcome very quickly. We have white papers. We've done Mark said, we have lots of webinars that talk about security of the cloud.
Yeah, you can check the webinar page. Actually,
the roll your own approach that I suggested is all the responsibility is on you. If you choose tools or platforms whose core competency is deploying to the cloud, running data in the cloud, working with hundreds of customers over time. A lot of that comes on to us.
Or 100 million cloud tests.
Exactly. So there's some experience to talk to that. So.
Cool. So those are the best practices. I think is a great. Thank you, Tomas, for that.
Thanks.
And Brad, thank you very much. Come to the booth. Are you guys giving away anything?
Thank you. We are giving away a virtual iPod Mini. Or iPad Mini.
iPad Mini, because I would want one.
So. All right. It's a virtual one.
You'll be sent the physical one. So there you go.
Yes. Well, it's also safer that way. It doesn't disappear.
That's right.
All right,
that's
Brad.
Right.
I'm going to move on to the next one. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. All right, who's next on my list? We've already been here. I think next on my list is Lorinda. Lorinda.
Oh, okay.
Lorinda at Smart Bear. I'm walking over to Smart Bear. Gold sponsor. Gold sponsor of STPCon, right?
Yes,
you guys, hi. Lorinda.
Gold sponsor.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you,
Very
Mark?
Good. Thank you very much for your support of the show. Have you been tuned in a little bit? I know it's busy. The booth is very busy.
Our booth has been packed. So honestly, I haven't been able to focus on anything except all of the people around our booth.
Yes. So we're going to have you hold that right
now. Okay.
You can do that yourself. We want to
wow, look
audio.
At my voice now.
Very good. Yes, no, that's great. So tell me a little bit about Smart Bear's history. And kind of, where you guys got started
what
and how
we stand
things are
for,
evolving.
What
yeah.
we do.
Yes.
So Smart Bear, as it exists now, started in about 2010 as a company that acquired a lot of other companies.
Sure.
Some of our companies, actually, that we bought go back to, 12 years ago.
Right.
Automated QA, which some people still recognize.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They built Test Complete and QA Complete.
Okay.
From Smart Bear's viewpoint, quality, software quality comes down to two things. functionality and performance.
Okay.
Does it do what it's supposed to do, and does it perform well?
Now, yes. Now, and this sounds very familiar, because I've been doing, obviously, marketing for 10, 15. We've been saying these things a lot.
Yep.
And so you guys are embracing this by bringing together multiple tools, bringing these different things together. What happened to security? Don't we love security?
We do love security.
That's okay. But you still have to acquire
a company. We do have, actually.
So
we do have to acquire a company in that,
that
space.
Would be cool. Okay.
But what are you making me say?
No, it's fine.
But we do have some security testing built into some of our products.
Oh,
so
right.
If you look at SOAP UI Pro, for example, which
right.
is an API testing tool, we do have some security checks built into SOAP UI.
Oh, cool.
So you can run some security checking on your APIs, which is an important thing to be doing, especially now
yeah.
in
yeah.
the API
now, it may
revolution.
Not be a, in security, I always tell folks it's not a replacement for a very sapient penetration test
yeah.
that's done by real human beings, because this brain, the
right.
computer between our ears, is still the best testing tool we have.
Yes.
But this is great. And like you say, you guys are sort of a new brand of some of the best thinkers that have come into testing in the last 10, 15 years. That's
yep,
great.
That's exactly
Are you
right.
ready to play our game?
Okay.
Are you familiar with our game?
I think so.
I
Although you always surprise me, Mark.
I will
so
surprise
who knows?
You. That's correct. All right. So the game goes like this. As you know, it's been very busy here. You see, everyone is at our booths. This is what we like. Tomas, he asked a question before. I don't know if we can let him ask another question, but he likes these same things. So the game goes like this. You can take a question from the audience, the
yes.
folks here who are tuned in. You'll see, John Hager's over there. He's listening. That's really good. That'd be awesome. Or you can take a question from the grab bag, which is
grab bag,
random question from Rich. If you don't like it, you can always punt the grab bag question. Or you can run the risk of actually taking a question from me.
Oh, God.
And that means I have to invent on the spot something that's even more challenging than you can imagine. So
oh.
which would you like to take? There's Seth. Maybe Seth will ask you a question.
So I actually like the idea of putting you on the spot, Mark.
You're going to ask me a question?
I'm going to make you ask me a question. So you need to come up with a question for me.
All right. Okay, and I know. Okay, so I know if I think about the legacy of SOAP UI and Load UI,
yeah.
and there are particularly functional and performance at the API layer. And this was something back when I was at HP and doing things in our products. Of course, Load Runner tools, we live at the API level, but we do it in sort of this: who cares about the API? We're just here to generate load. What, in your opinion, if you go to the functional testing side of things? How, if I don't even have a GUI, what has changed the most for a functional tester having to do automation and perform tests at an API layer? What's the biggest change or challenge to a tester nowadays?
So I think the biggest change from the world you're describing with Load Runner and where we are right now is that the API economy is kind of driving a lot of our software decisions.
Okay.
So APIs have become part of our business conversations, and that means there's a lot more emphasis on the quality. You need to make sure that if you're providing APIs, that the people consuming them can depend on the quality of the API you're delivering.
Very good.
And that it can stand up under load. So you never know. Part of the API economy is the unpredictability of it. You put an API out there, and people consume it, and you have no idea what's going to happen with those consumers of your API. They
yes.
may go viral on you,
yes.
and now all of a sudden that's an added load to your API. So
okay.
I think it's become far more important for testing organizations to understand how their software uses APIs and to make sure that they're layering their testing so that their load testing and functional testing at the API level
okay.
and also doing their functional and load testing at the application level, because you can't abandon either side. You've got to be concentrating on both layers.
Okay. So I'm a grassroots kind of guy.
Yeah.
And I left my position in marketing, as some of us have come and gone from that. You used the phrase API economy twice. And for testers who are super technical, and maybe if you were to define what you mean by it, I mean, is it the business context, actual economy of running a business of just APIs? No, everything's a service.
Well, it's more a matter of perspective. So APIs now, as I was saying, have become a business entity.
Right.
More and more, the business side of the house recognizes that they can actually make revenue off their API,
right,
and that it's a compelling thing to do. It differentiates them from other people.
Right.
And so it's the business, as opposed to 10 years ago, where it was always a technology decision, you know, do we use an API or don't we use an API?
Right.
Now it's a business decision where the business people are coming to the technology department and saying, hey, I need an API.
Yeah.
That's the API economy, because there's money to be made,
right,
on APIs, which changes how we have to view them. They are products.
Yeah,
and
not-
we have to treat them, we have to develop them and test them as products.
Or, and or operationally as the service, if the API is live,
yes,
in reality. So that's really good. I think, a challenge for a tester, if I were to start as an automator, I automate a GUI. And those APIs are that second thing over there that I'm
right.
Now it's almost inverted.
Exactly.
Like you're working first and foremost, all your boundary analysis, all of the different techniques you use for testing, black box testing, treat the API like a black box test, and then you then add the GUI and do the whole thing.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
And that's what I think is one of the challenges right now in the testing world, is having to understand what's actually driving your application and having to understand when your application is consuming somebody else's API, you
right.
actually need to go in there and test that API.
Okay.
Because it's part of your application. Your consumers, your users,
yeah,
look at that as part of what you've built.
Yeah, the big challenge for like load testing people would be, how do I know what to simulate in my load test at the API
right.
level if it's other people, unknown people out there in the world using it that I can't predict? So then we'll go back to Seth Elliott's data-driven quality presentation about analytics from prod feeding. And yeah, there's some really good. We could talk all day.
We could. And actually, I think it's a matter of, we actually did talk about this yesterday,
yes,
where when it comes to load testing, an unpredictable world,
yeah,
you need to have a lot of different approaches to it. So you need to do some stress tests, but some spike tests. And you need to kind,
yeah,
of come up with scenarios that your marketing and business people may not have thought of.
Very good. So we thank you again for your sponsorship of SDPCon. It's a great show.
It
Love
is a great show.
Are you guys giving away anything?
We are. We're giving away a Bluetooth speaker.
Bluetooth speaker? Oh,
yes,
I see
it's adorable.
It is adorable. Look at that.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a radio show. No one can see this.
I know.
You get that idea.
It's adorable. Just trust us.
Yeah, it is. It's very adorable. And louder than, yeah, higher fidelity than just higher quality.
And it says Smart Bear on it. What could be better than that?
There's a good question from the grab bag. What's the difference between quality and fidelity?
You're not asking me that.
No, I'm not asking that. Exactly. Lorinda, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Mark. It was my pleasure.
Very good. Okay, where do I go next? I think I actually talked with Oracy, which is, I think we can wrap it up. Well, how are we doing on time, Rich? We're doing good? We have plenty of time. All right, I'm going to come down here and maybe have a conversation with David or Caleb at the Oracy booth. I'm totally interrupting them, which is okay, right? You guys want to come and play the game? Maybe we'll take a question here. Ready? All right. Okay, everybody. No, this will be good. David, how are you? Here's your microphone.
I'm doing great.
You're doing great. Are you sure you're doing great?
Absolutely.
Okay, welcome. Thank you for your participation and sponsorship of SDPCon. And let's just kick things off. Introduce yourself. How long have you been testing or working with Oracy? What do you do for them?
So I've been at Oracy for 2 years. I don't know if anybody's listening except for the guy standing right in front of me.
Keep in mind, this is being broadcast.
Oh, it's getting broadcast.
Live.
Oh, exciting.
So it's a live. Your brothers and sisters, other Oracy employees out there, your customers, can hear you.
To all of my Oracy friends out on the internet, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I've been at Oracy for a couple years. I've been involved in quality assurance since 91, I suppose.
Oh,
in
yeah,
various
it's about the
guises.
Same as me. Yeah,
right.
Really, 22, 23 years.
Yep.
Great.
So in various guises.
Yeah. Cool. And what's your favorite kind of testing? What's the most exciting thing you've ever tested?
Oh, in history. My first test project ever, I worked on Microsoft Money One.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. Sort of the electron. Did it have online?
Oh yeah. They were trying to rip off Quicken.
And then, no offense to the Intuit Quicken folks. Yeah, I mean, I use their product. Yeah. And what about Oracy? I mean, you've been with Oracy for 2 years.
Yeah, Oracy.
You like the company, and I mean, Oracy's been a big. They're a big HP partner. I know you guys from a service provider.
Yeah, Oracy is a consulting company that specializes in quality assurance. We are HP's support partner of the year three of the last 4 years. So we have a pretty unique support offering in that we have consultants that used to be in the field, travel, now they also support. So they'll take some time off from traveling and they provide support. Cool. So we have a 95%+ resolution on first call, which is really good.
This is actually a big thing, especially for any tech company with challenging changes and compatibility issues, anything from a huge suite of products. You guys have some expertise that you share with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's folks that, because we're a fairly large consulting company, a few hundred people, we have a pretty big depth in all the things that go wrong.
Yeah, very,
so the more you use it, the more it goes wrong. So.
Okay. Very, very cool. So great. And I'm a big Oracy fan. So several of my friends are working with you, so that's great. Now, you're ready to play our game?
Sure. What's the game?
Are you familiar with how the game works?
No.
All right, here we go. The game, and of course, everyone is still at the booths, so that's pretty cool. But we may be pressed to find someone, although there's two ladies here who may actually ask a question of you. You can basically take a question from the audience as your first option.
Okay.
Or if Rich Hand hasn't disappeared somewhere, he has a listing of random questions. Okay. Rich even just took off to, he's just wandering around. Hey, hi. That's, you remember. So you can take a random question from Rich, or you can take a question from me.
So there's written questions from that table?
Live question from
the audience.
Do you
have a question? They have no questions.
No questions? No?
All right. So I'll grab one.
Yeah.
So, no.
We're going to do a grab bag question. Would you like me to read it for you?
Yes, please.
Okay, I will do the honors of reading it. So for you, David, from Oracy, how does automation help with creative or exploratory testing efforts?
How does automation help with creative or exploratory testing? So in my experience, or in the context of the design, automation can help find the easier defects that get introduced by simple mistakes in the development or operations process, which leaves the more creative work up to that exploratory phase. So the software that gets deployed and the solution that gets deployed has fewer simple defects, and it makes the exploratory work more interesting.
Okay.
So,
have you ever been a board tester on a project?
No.
It's
never.
Not boring.
No, to be fair, we almost exclusively did automation, and then we did bug bashes, which are a context of exploratory when I was doing the actual work.
Right. So if, just to paraphrase, the idea of automation is it sort of makes the easy, mundane kind of things automated, so you're free as a tester to engage in bug bashes and more fun, creative, exploratory things.
And I would go on to say that in recent years, continuous delivery provides the concept of getting the defect back to the developers as quickly as possible.
Right.
I had an epiphany about 6 months ago when I was a core developer. I could fix 10 defects a day,
right.
And I didn't understand how we did that. And the way we did it is my test team had created a daily automation such that whenever the NT screensaver popped up, it would start finding defects and sending them directly to me.
Cool.
So it was always, I'd always be working on a defect from the day before. So it made the resolution process much, much simpler because it was fresh in your mind. And
awesome.
I think that's the big change that's possible with continuous integration.
You know, that's one thing we hadn't talked about with any one vendor. I know different sponsors here have offerings, and you'll see some of the messages. Do you guys at Oracy have any continuous, like helping people adopt continuous testing? You have a group that can help get people off the ground?
Yeah, actually that team works for me, the
cool.
continuous
okay.
delivery
awesome.
Team, yeah. And we have a training program put together to teach folks Jenkins, TFS, the debuggers, unit testing.
Okay.
And very specifically, we have classes in Chef and VirtualBox
okay.
to teach how to do the deployment phases and Maven.
Yep.
All the whole CD stack,
yep.
I'm putting together that program right now. We can deliver that at the customer site, or they can come on site to visit us either in Florida or in Kennesaw, Georgia.
Oh, very, very cool. Right. So they can learn kind of either at their environment or, you know, in sort of a pristine environment.
Right. And it's a workshop. We start day one setting up virtual box and creating the virtual machines that you use to do all the work going forward. And you teach best practices and setting up trustworthy computing environments and testing environments.
Cool. That's excellent. And just so you know, we didn't even pre-plan this. You just picked a great question. We dropped it on you.
Yeah, we slipped it in there, yeah.
Very good. David, thank you very much. Thanks for sponsoring the show. Shake your hand. You can give me the mic. That's awesome. Caleb, nice to see you. Caleb Billingsley, also with Oracy in the past life. So thank you guys very much. And Rich, here we are. I think we're almost to the end. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh. Talk to Rex Black.
We could talk to Rex. Would you like to talk to? Let's go talk to Rex Black.
Well, we wanted to follow up on what was happening out there on Twitter with the conversation.
If you'd like, yes, exactly. But we may be interrupting him here, so yeah, sure. So that was pretty rich. What's your opinion so far? We've hit XPOsoft, Sosta. We got HP. Michael kicked us off. A lengthy conversation with Lorinda here at SmartBear. Test Complete SmartBear. It's been a crazy, yeah. And then Oracy. So two consulting partners and three product vendors, product folks. What's your takeaway so far?
I think it's a great opportunity to have folks be able to talk about what they're doing, not only here at SDPCon, but out in the community for those folks that haven't had the opportunity to get down here.
Yeah.
It shows thought leadership and some of the great things, the cutting-edge things that are going on out there in the industry.
I will say, I expected people, you know, you and I are charismatic.
A matter of opinion.
At least I don't have a face for radio. I'm kidding. but yeah, we've hardly been able to interrupt people at these booths.
Yep.
Getting in and they're just their heads. I feel like I'm interrupting something. So, Rex is engrossed in his conversation. I don't want to interrupt him too much. We may have to come back and we'll have him on an SDP radio interview.
Yeah, I just thought I was trying to get Rex to talk a little bit about today because I think Twitter exploded a little bit with the conversation between Rex and Ken. You were following a little closer than I was. What was the sentiment out there for?
It was a philosophical debate.
Yes.
You know, attention is good. They always say that, you know, news, good news, bad news is still news, is still good news. I think to some extent, though, what happened on the Twitter feed was people wanted. The conversation actually was expanding and finding new kinds of meaning. I wouldn't be surprised if we find later at some of the late night conversations that happen always at SCPCon that folks chew into that. So I'm very grateful for the minds of somebody like Ken Kaner and Rex Black to be willing to, in whatever form, generate that argument, that debate. It's the in some cases it can be the elephant sitting in the middle of the room, but. Stuff like that has always happened kind of on the periphery of SDPCon because we're a very pretty intense conference. Now it's happening, you know, it's coming out right in the middle. So I think in future keynotes and stuff, we should have more passion about that. Be controversial. Yeah. James Bach is on quotes as video. We're not controversial enough in testing. Yep. So let's be controversial. And that was definitely good. So I think it was good to generate the conversation. We'll see where the Twitter conversation takes from here, the discussion and enlightenment. Actually, David used the word epiphany, another great word, epiphany. I bet some testers who aren't even here had some epiphanies about the different schools of testing. Very, very awesome. So Rex Black is here. Hey, do you have a minute? Hi, I'm actually stepping up. This is a great booth. Look at all this stuff you have. How are you, sir? Nice to see you again. I'll have you take the microphone here.
All right.
Rich, we've been doing and interviewing different folks, different sponsors in the last few minutes here as a live podcast. So you're talking live on the internet.
Speaking live to
yes,
who knows how many people.
Get your radio voice. Hey, the smooth sounds of jazz. With
right.
Exactly.
So it's the voice that's made for radio opposed to the face made for radio. It's just a whole different story, right?
Exactly. So thank you for riveting debate this morning with Dr. Kaner.
It was fun.
It was great. And I know it's drawing some attention and expanding our conversations. In your opinion, you know, just having that as a keynote at the beginning to kind of kick off STPCon, what's your feeling about, you know, sort of kicking us off with such a passionate kind of conversation or discussion or debate?
I think it's a good way to get started. I think there's a lot of confusion about the whole schools of testing thing, and do you have to be in one versus another, and just misconceptions about it. And so I think it was helpful to get that clarification. It was interesting to hear Kim saying, look, they don't have to pick one. You can span multiple ones.
Sure.
It's the first time I've ever heard anybody say that.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
I think it was it was helpful in the sense that it kind of maybe broke some preconceptions about the schools of testing concept itself.
Yeah.
And I hope it got people thinking about being a little more flexible in the way that they go about it as well in terms of schools of testing. And instead of thinking schools of testing, starting to think strategies and being more all the different ways of solving problems rather than I have to, be in one or the other.
Yeah, exactly. And I think being well-educated to know which strategy works in which context or which situation. Some management chains may prefer a way of working, another management. You might change companies and you've got to adapt. And
right.
I think one of my opinions, I would love to ask you just quickly, the idea that if folks are just starting from nowhere as a tester, I always think, obviously, education, formal education, certifications, you've got to start to get your foundation built.
Right. Right.
In a lifelong career, I know your lifelong career spans nearly 30 years, maybe 30 years of testing?
I'm afraid it's over 30 years at
over
this point.
Over 30 years. No offense. Myself at 22 years, I'm surprised still. But you never stop learning. Are there new things that you're bringing to folks in your trainings or in the service offerings you have to help people take even newer steps to extend what they do?
Yeah, so we've got a number of initiatives that we're doing right now. I mean, one of them is updating the advanced courses to make sure that they're fully aligned with the 2012 advanced syllabus. So we're working on that.
And cool.
Most of that work is done at this point. We just rolled out the Agile Tester Foundation course, which is aligned with the upcoming ISTQB foundation level extension for Agile. So,
Great. So
that's going to be out. We're running that. We ran a two-day pilot version last week through STP. And
That went well?
Yeah.
Went great.
It seemed to have a very good reaction to it. So we're going to be continuing to run that on a regular basis. We expect that to be very successful.
Very good.
And 2015, we will be working on the expert level, expert test level. Manager. So we're going to get
you and
that.
I should talk on the expert level because I'm always curious even maybe what I'm missing out on as an expert as well.
Okay.
if I want dare call myself one. Very good. But yeah, so thank you again for your time.
And all right, great.
Are you giving away anything?
I am. I am giving something away. People should, if they're here, grab a ticket and drop one in the fishbowl and keep the other. And that's a Kindle.
Giving away a Kindle Fire kind of thing?
I believe, I'm going to say something. It's a Kindle something. And my business partner gave it to me in a box and said, take this and
this
give it away.
Giveaway.
So
very good.
I'm like, oh, okay. So
that's it, right.
But it's probably a Kindle Fire or something along those lines. That's, I think, what we typically do.
Very, very cool. Rex, great to see you again. Thanks.
All right, great. Thanks.
And thank you for your support of STPCon.
Right.
Okay. So Rich, we'll make a quick little announcement. The Expo Hall is going to be open this evening from 6 to 8 p.m.
Yep.
6 to 8, we'll have the welcome reception here,
and
our sponsors will be back, so there'll be plenty of opportunity to come back.
So people can get the giveaways
and
have a deeper conversation.
Absolutely.
And then is the Expo Hall open on Wednesday as well?
No, it's Tuesday only.
Tuesday only?
This session here and tonight's session.
And tonight's session.
Yeah, and then we give away the prizes right after the session tonight.
Away the prize. So you got to make
it
happen here tonight.
You have to be here to win.
Now, there are still some of the sponsors that have people speaking on Wednesday and Thursday potentially.
Yes, absolutely.
So even they'll still be here at the conference if you want to look them up and have a conversation.
Exactly.
Always good to know. STPCon goes for days and you can dig in even deeper.
Exactly.
So what do you think of our first live broadcast live from STPCon?
I think you did a great job, Mark, as always, and I'm looking forward to expanding STPCon radio with not only you, the co-host of Perf Bytes, but many out in the community there. So if you're listening.
We had some folks sending us emails saying you could send to info@softwaretestpro.com.
Yep.
You can send it to Rich Hand. You can send it to me as well. We may get Lorinda from Smart Bear once we have some podcasting going. So that'll be really fun. And thanks to everyone out there in the wider internet world for tuning in today. And we'll see you on the next broadcast of STP Radio.
Great job, Mark.
Thanks, Rich. Live from New Orleans, we are out.
And her lips were wine. And her eyes were